So I see this question here. We have an elderly woman who is found in bed confused, and she has a low body temperature, high heart rate, decreased blood pressure. Fluids didn't help her blood pressure, and she's got a high cardiac output, low pulmonary capillary wedge pressure, decreased peripheral vascular resistance. So looking at the answer choices, right away we can eliminate gastrointestinal blood loss and hypovolemic shock. We would have decreased cardiac output, not increased. You can't have a high cardiac output if you have low blood volume. Doesn't matter if your heart rate is high, okay? Pulmonary capillary wedge pressure, that equals left atrial pressure, very high yield. That's going to be increased in any type of cardiogenic shock, like an overt myocardial infarction. Could even be something like aortic stenosis, where you get a backup of afterload to the left atrium, increasing PCWP. So here we have decreased pulmonary capillary wedge pressure that is consistent with hypovolemic shock, but once again, our cardiac output would not be high, it would be low. And then peripheral vascular resistance is decreased here. We would expect high peripheral vascular resistance in hypovolemic shock. We would have sympathetic compensation with norepinephrine, epinephrine binding to alpha-1 receptors on arterioles, peripheral arterioles, causing vasoconstriction and in order to increase proximal pressure. So this is not gastrointestinal blood loss. Choice B, infarction of myocardium. We know that's wrong because, as we just said, pulmonary capillary wedge pressure would be increased, not decreased. Very, very high yield. That's actually, personally, the first one I eliminated when I looked at this question. Like, I can just instantly see PCWP low, and I know to eliminate anything cardiogenic. And in cardiogenic shock, we would have decreased cardiac output, not increased. And our peripheral vascular resistance would be increased, not decreased. So just everything wrong here for cardiogenic shock. Choice C, pulmonary thromboembolism. That's a distractor. It's not that we can't have hemodynamic decompensation with PE. It's, and especially this patient's bedridden, it could be something to consider. It's just not a typical etiology for a shock question. And I don't eliminate it outright, but it's one of those answers that I continue looking at what else I have here. And I should also note that if anything, even if PE were the diagnosis, we would expect decreased cardiac output if it were to cause hemodynamic decompensation, not increased. And systemic cytokine release reflects septic shock, which is the diagnosis in this question. TNF-alpha, that's classically going to increase vascular permeability, increase fluid movement into third spacing, and we get dilatation of peripheral vessels. So we have decreased peripheral vascular resistance, as we have in this question, that's consistent, and we get increased cardiac output due to high heart rate in conjunction with the peripheral vasodilatation. So that's in contrast to, as we said, hypovolemic shock, where it'd be decreased cardiac output and decreased cardiac output in cardiogenic shock. But when we get peripheral dilatation in septic shock, we get increased cardiac output. And this patient, if you were to say, but wait, like, I don't get it. Like, why, like, what's actually causing the sepsis here? And what does that mean? What is actual sepsis? This patient is in bed, lying in bed confused with delirium. And most old people, especially those with Alzheimer's, get decreased gag reflex, increased susceptibility to aspiration, okay? So this patient likely has aspiration pneumonia leading to sepsis. That's just an inference, but I've seen that as well in real life plenty of times when I did geriatrics term. So that's likely the diagnosis here, septic shock secondary to aspiration pneumonia. And then some students will say, but what is actual sepsis? Like, I hear that term, but like, what is that? What does that mean? Sepsis means infection plus SIRS. SIRS is S-I-R-S, systemic inflammatory response syndrome. So there's four variables to consider for SIRS. Our first is temperature, less than 36 or greater than 38 Celsius, heart rate 90 or greater, respiratory rate 20 or greater, or leukocytes less than 4,000 or greater than 12,000. Now, to have SIRS, we need at least 2 out of 4 of those. Now, if we have SIRS plus a source of infection, that equals sepsis. And then plus low blood pressure, That's septic shock. So we look at this patient here, has a temperature of 35.9 Celsius. Okay, that's one criteria for SIRS. Heart rate is greater than 90. It's 98 here. So, okay, that's a 2 out of 4 at least. And we've got SIRS. And then plus our aspiration pneumonia, most likely. And that's going to be our sepsis. So that's also how the vignette is consistent with septic shock here. And then vasovagal shock, I just threw that in there as a distractor. I don't even think vasovagal shock is a real thing. Like vasovagal syncope, yes. That's when we have increased parasympathetic outflow from the nucleus solitarius, causing dilatation of peripheral vessels and also bradycardia. And it can cause lightheadedness and fainting, usually secondary to an emotional stimulus. But that, usually younger patients with that, younger women. But once again, just threw that in there for kicks, just a distractor. That's it.